Welcome to the podcast that keeps the wheels the right way down the whole time. O Canada RC, the podcast, brought to you by Reefs RC, maker of quality RC products. Now, let's flip it over to the boys with the toys making some noise. What's up, guys? Welcome to Whoops Wednesday. And if you hear a little hum in the background, just know that I am driving, I am being very safe, hands-free, earbuds are in. But I thought, what a great opportunity, what a good use of time to record the intro, the opening salvo, if you will, for this midweek, short week edition of O Canada RC, the podcast. It's Jeff. If this is your first time here, this is an unusual type of recording for me. And if it's not your first time here, then you're used to my shenanigans by now. But I figured for Whoops Wednesday, which will likely be published tomorrow morning, I'm sorry for being a little late, but in this instance, recording it from the road makes good sense. We have two guests lined up tonight. Pablo and I will be talking to our first guest together, and I'll be going mano a mano with the second guest, who you might recognize as a recent guest to the podcast. And I'll get into who they are in just a moment. However, why am I recording from the road? Well, it's been about a week in the making for me to get out to Phoenix RC Raceway. That's my home track. And finally found some time. After work, everything's good at home. Everybody's relaxed and kind of cooled out now. And we're just trying to take things in stride. And I said, I think I'm going to take a few hours here. I haven't had a chance to get the TT01 on the track. I really want to get there, pop it out of the transmission, and break it in for about 20 minutes to a half an hour. And just let it run and then spray it out and then get her on the track and just do some preliminary runs and see how it feels. Something tells me this car, and if the ad is true, has very rarely been run. So it could either go really well in that everything was very well intact, and it appears to be, having had the entire thing apart, or something could go horribly wrong. Let's hope for the previous and not the latter, yeah? Doing a lot of work on this car. It's got new universals in the front. It's got aluminum shafts, aluminum outdrives in the front and steel in the back. I want to get steel outdrives for the front, but that'll have to wait. What else is upgraded in this vehicle? We've got new oil-filled aluminum shocks. It's bearings all around and inside. Aluminum drive shaft. Graphite uppers on the front and the back to add a little bit of rigidity and a little bit of strength to the overall structure of the chassis. And of course, the sick as hell super body, the Esso Ultra Flow super body that I'm really excited to not destroy. So that's my goal, is to have some clean runs, start out nice and easy. I am excited though. I have the Sport Tune 540 brushed engine in it. It's supposed to be a notable difference in speed. My gearing ratio is 19 tooth on the pinion and 61 on the spur, which is the limit for this class of GT2 at Phoenix. So it's up to spec for the race class, and I'm really excited because in this class, I feel like I might have a shot in hell of doing a respectable finish maybe in a couple club races coming up here. And why do I say that? I just think it'll be fast, but I don't think I will find it, and I'm going to test this theory tonight. I don't think I'll find it as twitchy or as difficult to control as the X-Ray 2019 T4 that I have. I'm going to run her tonight as well. Don't get me wrong. I haven't gone off the X-Ray. Just I'm really excited to get the TT01 on the track. But I do have the X-Ray with me. She underwent some recent surgery because I slammed into a wall lessons learned there. I think I was lacking on my tire prep a bit. I really got to step up that game a bit, really give the tires a good clean after each run and really sauce them and let them dry maybe a little bit more. We're going to try that tonight. But I love the the T4, the X-Ray, because I think going faster, as every guy at the track has told me, will help me with my off-road racing. So I think what they mean by that is when you're on road, you're so much quicker and you have to be so much more responsive than any kind of racing below it. So off-road racing is fast. And I would say maybe just a touch different in terms of the speed, because you have jumps and you have rolls and you have, you know, the wall rider. But it slows it down a little bit. So when you're running a touring car, you know, whether it's a 17.5 like the X-Ray or it's this brushed to me a TT01, I think it preps you for different types of racing. So I hope I'm right there, and I hope we see that difference. So yeah, that's the reason why I'm recording this opening to you with you on the road, because I want to make every ounce of time count at the track. I should be getting there on about 5:45 Eastern Standard Time, and with that, I've got 3 fully charged batteries. I'm gonna sauce up the TT01, get her out there, get the X-Ray out there, and see how we do, see how we make out. Might pick up some new tires for the X-Ray, and it needs them. The TT01 tires should last me for a while. They're brand new again, like I mentioned. But yeah, that's about all we got. If you heard that ding, my service required light just flashed on the 1-to-1 scale Mitsubishi that I'm driving. So that's not a good sign. But let's hope, like a lot of things, it's just overreacting. Anyways, guys, before I let you go, here's the lineup for Whoops Wednesday here, the October 13th edition. My first guest, super excited to have John Schultz on. That's right, the John Schultz of Associated Element RC, the man, the myth. What I'm learning is a little bit about John. I'll be honest, I don't know a lot about him. But I've been doing some research for this show, and kudos to our co-host, Pablo Guerrero, who will be joining me for that talk with John. Pablo actually met John a few weeks ago at a no-prep drag racing event out his way in Washington State. And John's big into no-prep. He's big into his crawlers and the Element RC brand, which is, of course, the crawling affiliate of Team Associated. So I'm really excited. I haven't had anybody from Associated on, or anybody affiliated with Associated on. And I don't play favors on this podcast. It's about having everybody on from all over the industry. So I'm stoked to have John on and get his thoughts on the industry. He's been around for a while. He's been involved in a lot of the different facets of it. So having a guy like that on is like having, again, a Frank Rude on from TLR, or it's like having a Sharif on from Reefs. These are guys that have been in the industry a long time, that know the industry and are pretty passionate about it. So that's the first guest. Do stick around for our chat with John. And then later on in the podcast, we're going to have a man on who was on with Pablo and I on the weekend, KLN RC Cars. And me and Cody are going to go at it on the podcast, though. No video this time, just me and him, mano a mano. I had to pull the chute, per se, on Cody and Pablo on the weekend. I didn't have a choice. We had stuff going on around the RC, the O Canada RC family at home. And that takes priority with me all the time. So my apologies again to Cody, but we had to cut short our involvement in that podcast. So because of that, I want to have him back on, and I really want to get into the discussion around the monster truck side of things. He's a huge advocate for that part of the industry, and I think monster trucks don't get the love or the respect that quite frankly, they deserve. And we're going to get into it, man. We're going to give them some love and respect here. So you won't believe me if I tell you that I literally just pulled into the Phoenix parking lot. But I did. And I'm going to get in there and have some fun. Stick around. Musical interlude is coming at you. We'll be talking to you again very shortly. Take care, y'all. All right, guys, welcome back to O Canada RC, the podcast. It's your host, Jeff Lemoyne, and I'm on with Pablo Guerrero on the other end of the line. And in between us, somewhere along the way, is a very special, special guest today. You will know the name, undoubtedly. He is tied closely to such brands as Team Associated and Element RC. We really want to welcome, a special welcome to Mr. John Schultz to the podcast.
Good, great. How are you guys doing, man?
Fantastic. So, just so the listeners know, we've had a little snafu yesterday. And you know what? After I got out of my office and I was like, hey, wait a minute. I realized we were having a heck of a storm outside. I guess there was like power lines down. I forgot to tell you about this, Jeff. I guess there was power lines down and like trees falling and all kinds of stuff. And I have a shop. It's an industrial shop kind of a thing. So the door was just banging back and forth. And I was like, I walked out and I was like, oh, I wonder if I had some problem in this. So, yeah.
I'm more than happy to share the blame. So,
so hey, John. So I, thank you again for coming on with us I'm just going to jump right in. I had a question, and it's funny because not that my life is so super exciting, but I put on an orange long sleeve shirt today, and I literally have an orange, black, and gray rock star in front of me. And so one of the questions, obviously everyone knows your RC account. One of the questions I had is there anything in particular why the orange and black or the orange and gray kind of color scheme? What kind of has led to that, and what's your take on all that?
Well, I'm kind of old school, so I like flames. It started off just being kind of a two-tone, or actually had a blue pinstripe orange and then gray at the bottom. And I owned a company a long time ago called Rock Concepts, and it was just high performance 70-75 billet parts for Tisco gas trucks, monster trucks, that kind of stuff. And so the rock concept thing always just kind of stuck there. So when my paint job started, it slowly progresses over time, just like everybody else's. So when we did flames, sure. We made the flames a granite looking rock. So it's got rock flames. And then
right,
the orange,
right.
I've tried different colors, but orange, whenever I paint one color body, it was orange. You go to the track, and all the team guys would either paint their car white or yellow. And I didn't like either one of those. The white is too plain, so I just started painting my stuff orange, and that's where the orange kind of stuck. I call it just it's like a tropical.
And John,
That's nice. Rad.
And John, sorry to interrupt too. Guys. So or that orange, Pablo and I were pontificating offline a bit, and that's the biggest word I'll use today, swear to God. But the orange, and I think RC10, is there a connection there for you? Like, is that where it came from?
I've been running orange stuff since before I worked for HBI back in the day. So orange is just, it was just a color that it was bright on the track. I could see my car when I was practicing. It didn't look like anybody else's because nobody else did orange at the time. And it's just kind of a color that stuck. So
that's rad. And, I like the and I don't know if people catch that when they look at that kind of granite rock look underneath the flames. That's a super rad effect. And, it's kind of it's one of those things that I don't know if people catch it, but it looks really good. And especially when you have those drop shadows on there and all that, looks really, really cool. So that's I dig it, man. And I dig that orange pop look. It was funny because I watched I don't know how long ago it was. It wasn't that long ago. You were talking about some tips and tricks for the no prep scene. And you were talking about now that fall's coming, you got to put some lights on the front because you can't see your truck or your your car with all, how dark it is out there. And it's like, yeah, you could definitely see that orange. There's no question about that.
I always just force an orange. And then I've gone through quite a few painters just because painters come and go. And every time I get a new painter, I'll have them add something of their own spinoff. So now the painter that's painting my stuff is Shark Bait Designs. And he's also the guy that does all of the artwork for Team Associated, all of their paint jobs for the box art.
That's awesome.
It makes it easy.
That's cool.
Yeah, and I guess, John, just to clarify, what I was asking was that not that you got the color from the RC10, but I thought maybe the RC10 and there was a connection and just your love for that color that it came about. That's all.
Yeah, I like the orange. It just stands out.
Yeah. Nice.
So kind of going back to your painters and stuff like that, I've always wondered, so I know, and I know some listeners might know, and maybe not all, but you've been with several. So I'm a designer, right? I design, I'm a fabricator. Before I owned my own company, I called myself a hired gun. And so I would just go from company to company and they would sub me out for some kind of concept, right? Or designs, right. That kind of thing. And it seems like you and I have that in common. One of the things that I was really interested in on is with your background and with what you have done with other companies, what is your role in the design process? Like, is it design and engineering, or are you like literally over someone's shoulder and being like, nah, this needs to be a little fatter here because it looks better, or kind of like an art director? What's your role in that?
My title is brand specialist, and I do quite a few different things here at Associated Electrics. I don't just go out and do events or do shop visits, but I work closely with a lot of the designers, not on the race side, but more on the RTR side. The simple fact is I'm out here in these events. I'm seeing what's hot and what's not, and what works. And I'm an enthusiast. I'm constantly tinkering with my truck. So Aaron Lane is the designer of Element. And me and him, we talk almost every other day on new ideas, new things we'd like to see with the truck. So, and then what I do is, since, you know, going to seeing shops and doing events isn't, you know, a 30-day a month job. It's, you know, only I go see shops when I do events. I'll go out and I'll test. I'll go out and run products and make sure that they live and make sure that they're strong. We try different stuff. You know, the cool thing about Associated is their background is race. They've been around for 55 years, stuff like that. So, you know, when I was at other brands, we'd make a product and we'd move on. You know, we'd never go back and really revisit that or make that product, you know, move forward. Here, it's like we're constantly making stuff to make the product better, just because that's us. I mean, everybody here, we're all enthusiasts. We all strive to make the best product we can. And by going out and hearing what people want, you know, and seeing what's needed, that also makes our product, you know, better and stronger and more capable. And like the new Gatekeeper, I'm super excited about that truck. A lot of things we've been wanting to do since day one that we did with this truck. We've listened to what people want. I feel we've kind of killed it with this truck. But I do multiple things. I test. I talk to the designers. I talk with Thad Gardner, which is in charge of the DR10. I do a lot of drag racing. I tell them what I'm seeing. I got prototype stuff that I test on my car and tell them if it works or don't. You know, it's just a big ball that kind of rolls into the end product. So that's kind
of awesome.
A little bit of everything.
And John, when I hear that too, and Pablo, when I hear that, it's like the fact that you're getting out there, and this is not just you 9 to 5, you know, it's you as an enthusiast, you live and breathe this, obviously. And hearing you talk about that, that's evident. Getting out there, breaking things, seeing how things respond in different conditions, coming back to the lab, so to speak, and applying those learnings. Like, that's amazing for me to hear. And I know, Pablo, you're saying that's awesome too. One question I want to get in, John, is, so where do you get your inspiration away from the RC world, right? So like, there's so much inspiration in history of this sport. I will call it a sport. Where does John Schultz get his inspiration away from the RC world when it comes to new rigs or making refinements to existing rigs?
I've been a motorcycle guy all my life. I've ridden desert. Me and my wife ride motorcycles. They're really dirt bikes with license plates that I got street legal here. And we do a lot of dual sporting back in the day. And then in the last 4 years, I bought a Jeep. But just going to full-size events, that's a lot of cool stuff. Especially like King of the Hammers. King of the Hammers isn't like going to like NASCAR. Mm-hmm. NASCAR, you go in there, they're all the same car. You know, up close, they're beat up, they're ugly looking, but from the stand, they look like a great billboard. You go to King of the Hammers or We Rock or stuff like that. There's usually not one rig is the same unless it's a team. They're all different. They all have different ideas of what works and what doesn't. You know, I mean, it's only been a few years since we started seeing IFS at King of the Hammers for rock racing and desert racing. So I get a lot of inspiration from those events just because everything is so different, you know.
That's cool. And I think that I can totally see that and how that leads into the drag racing stuff too. Cause like I've had that conversation with people about the RC drag stuff. And for me, I've been around one-to-one drag a lot and I totally identify with what you're saying on how people, you know, do their little custom test here and there. And, you know, that's what drag racing, how that drag racing originated. That's how King of the Hammers originated, or, you know, a U-fork truck kind of thing. Baja style originated. It's just people kind of doing their own ingenuity and going out there and playing with it. And that's what I think is exciting for where that sport is going on the RC level at the no prep and all that, is that, you know, I'm anxious. I've got a build in mind that I want to do, and I'm anxious to see how that's received and how, what it does to that kind of, you know, scalar, like, I don't want to call it super scale, but it's, you know, more of a scalar type vehicle where you can actually see the tube chassis in it and I'm not afraid to go and run it. You know what I mean? So
I think I'll build in on that too. And John, you'll learn, like, I'm a gluttony for racing right now. I'm a glutton for racing. So I'm just getting into on-road and I run my on carpet off-road as well. But when I hear you guys talk about the hobby and, you know, building with what you have and your knowledge and testing things, that's the angle that I like with racing too, is where you get some guys that get into racing, they want to keep it like spec, but I like that whole angle of coming in and hearing what guys say about how they sauce their tires, just the little things, like those are technical things, but how they'll set up a car, how they'll set up a suspension. And that for me resonates across this whole hobby, whether you're a basher, whether you're doing no prep, whether you're, you know, you're into rally or on road. It's like, that's the one thread that I love about, no matter how you're into RC, it seems to be a consistent thing. Like, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, you have a lot of guys out there that race and they just copy the next guy. Two of them are running the same thing their buddies running. I like basically doing what you're saying. I like to fine tune and build and do my own twist on stuff. And my dog's going to bark because the mail just showed up.
I totally know it, man. I got a shop dog here too, so she goes crazy.
She only barks at the mailman, UPS, FedEx, and the post office, I guess. So, yeah. That's what kind of intrigues me with the rock race, the rock crawling, as well as the drag racing, is that you're constantly wanting to, you know, tune your vehicle to climb that rock, or you're tuning your car to get that extra tenth of a second, or that extra mile an hour, or, you know, I want my car to launch. That's more fun to me than just racing. Is is learning and making the cars work off-road and on-road. And and that's why I probably kind of stepped away from the off-road this year for the simple fact is I just love tinkering and building my own thing. And and rock crawling and drag racing, you know, isn't like the like racing. The racing, you have to have a big motor car. You have to run these tires. You have to run this motor. You have to, you know, drag racing, you can run whatever motor you want as long as it's, you know, it fits in the car. It has to be two cell. Great. But, you know, gearing and I mean, it's such a wide variety of changes you can do that car to get that extra mile an hour or a tenth of a second. Not just
what. So I love that. And but one of the things that intrigues me that I know you're getting into and kind of pioneering is that 13.5 class. And that's kind of dialing it back so that it's like the gateway, right? The gateway to getting into like the crazy tinkering. It's correct. It's the getting into it and everyone having a turn, everyone kind of, you know, you're not, because when I went to the last event that I saw you here at Die Hard RC, that it was rad and it was super surprising to see how much tech was involved.
Yes.
And, you know, how much the cars were tire warmers and cooling fans and getting the most charge and having to stay and cool off and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's a true race car. You know what I mean? It's a true drag car where they put, you know, bags of ice on the intake. Like it's a true race car. So it, to me, it was kind of eye opening. And I was like, whoa, that's like, that's a whole other level that I know that I'm getting into.
Well, not just that, so, is that we're racing on streets. We're racing on a road that's basically blown off and you're constantly having to chase that street you're on. Like when I went up, up there, that was probably one of the roughest roads. And I wouldn't say the roughest, but it was close to be one of the roughest roads I've ever been on. It's very narrow. It's very bumpy. My car set up a little bit stiffer for what the roads I run on. So I wasn't going to sit there and change my whole car. I was just taking power out to get my car down the track.
Sure.
But that's. But I was there to do multiple things, not just race, you know.
Right.
But that kind of stuff just intrigues me to get to a road that you know people race on, and you're trying to, you know, win that trophy or bunny or whatever at the end of the night.
So, when it comes to drag racing, have you kind of thought or pondered, especially with the, you know, ability to put a transponder in your car, to do bracket racing with a drag car, RC drag car?
Now, the problem with you when you want to do bracket racing, now you're trying to get the promoter that really doesn't make any money doing it at all because we race for cash, you know, and usually it's all cash. Now he's got to go buy and spend, you know, $3,500 at the minimum to put a system that will give you times and all that. So right now you show up to the street, all you need is a flashlight. You need a flashlight
right.
at the other end of the track with a camera to run video. That's all you need.
Sure.
If you start doing bracket racing, you're talking more of track stuff. And the only people know that does no prep with a timing system is the guys in Arizona. They actually go down in the street and they close it off and they, you know, run. They can run brackets there because they have a trick.
That's cool, man.
That's a cool mentality, right? Like for me, John, that's something that I personally haven't considered too much in RC, and I'm relatively young in it compared to some guys. But knowing that it's going back to that grassroots, right? Like, what's the minimal that you can have to run? It's raw. It's kind of like everybody's just out there experimenting, and it's. I would argue too that makes it a little more attainable, right? It's a little easier for everybody to get involved.
Yeah, exactly. If you, I mean, not saying going to the track isn't fun. I mean, going to the track is fun, but the problem is now you're working with, you know, VHT or sugar on the track. Everything's more abrasive. It has to be blown off. Has to be prepped. Here we meet on a street with a flashlight. All right, here's my money, or as I put it, here's my donation.
Let's
gonna take that donation home, right?
That's awesome.
It's kind of like Wayne's World where there's like car, right. Game on,
and it's just like that. I mean, Rancho Cucamonga. You know, we'll run two passes, then you hear somebody go, car, truck. We all move out of the way, and the car will by, and we get back right back racing again. You know, so it's just like that.
That's near.
That is so rad.
That's near and dear to my heart, John. As you know, I'm a Canadian, so we grew up playing street hockey and moving nets every 5 minutes, right?
Right.
Car, it's old man Johnson again. He's just going up and down the street on purpose to make us move the damn net.
Right?
Yeah. So same thing, man. Different ball of wax, but same thing, right?
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. It makes it fun, you know. And yeah. The cool thing is with no prep is there's a lot of smack talk, of course. You know, it's all within friends. You know, we all talk trash and everybody else, you know. But at the end of the day, everybody's got a different car, everybody's got a different look, everybody's got a different body, you know, and it's just cool to do. So right now it's the battle between awesome. Mid motor and rear motor, you know. So every time you start talking about your custom build, we lose each other. So let's let's talk about your custom build.
Okay. So at the it was a 13.5, right? Or is it 15.5? I don't remember. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. So at 13.5, if I was to build a frame railed vehicle, you know, using drivetrain parts, that kind of thing, and I met the wheelbase criteria, would it still be able to compete?
13.5 rubber tires. Body has to cover the tires. Gearbox.
Right.
Yeah, it should be fine. And, you know, if you build something cool like that, okay. It should be fine.
You know, and the thing is, it's going to be a brick. You know what I mean? It's going to be more for show, less for go. I mean, it'd be cool if it went got up and boogied, but at the 13.5, I don't think, 30 feet of steel tubing is going to be very reactive.
Right, there's a weight limit too. I mean, our weight limit is 2060, which is like 4.5 pounds, I think it is.
Okay. Oh, now you're really challenging me. Now I'm going to have to make that chassis out
just
of aluminum.
Just don't crash it. I'm going to have a little bends.
I know. Well, you know, it's funny. I was telling Jeff that when I saw you guys racing, I was like, dude, I could totally, you know, it's like we go out and we break stuff when we're driving other stuff. And I'm like, you know, you break an A-arm or whatever, and you're like, whatever, I'll just replace it. With a drag car doing 60 miles an hour, seeing what you guys could potentially run into to stop, that's like a whole new truck, a whole new vehicle that you have to replace.
I've seen you know what I mean? There's a track at Delta RC up in Antioch. It's down a street, but at the end of the finish line, there's a turnout street. And there's a curb there, and I've seen many people not just break their car, but destroy their car hitting that curb.
Oh, man.
I mean, that's 60 that bucks is, mile an hour. And
that is
a stop. It's going to do something.
That's heartbreaking.
it's a little bit relatable. I don't know if Pablo knows this.
Oh.
You're going to laugh. So I ran TT01 class last night and had a vintage Esso Ultra Flow body going, and it's a lightweight, and I just hit a side of the track and shattered front nose. So it's not destroying an entire drag car, but when you said that, it ripped open the wound.
Yeah. So my first time on a prep track with my one-cell car. Now, you're thinking, okay, one-cell cars, you know, they're not that fast. No, one-cell cars on a prep track, they run 86 mile an hour on one S.
Oh.
Yeah.
What?
Wow. I went across the finish line my first time with my car. She went across the finish line and lost radio and kept going across the park lot in a metal container. It was a one-run car.
Wow.
They put a dent in the container.
Good thing. Oh, yeah. Good thing you got a sponsor, right?
So. I didn't buy that car. It was a drag race concept one cell car, I think it is. So, yeah, I mean, it was a $500 car.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh.
That was a bad day. So I feel your pain, yes.
We've all been there in one way, shape, or form, right?
Yeah. You know what's scaring me right now? Okay, so when we were down there, my son was like, "Nah, whatever." He wasn't, surprisingly, he wasn't too into the drag stuff, but my daughter was like, "Yeah, I can get down with that." And she's 8, right? And she's more of a builder than she is a driver. My son's the driver, right? And I'm like sitting here like, oh, I don't, I really, and then you guys came out with that DR10 purple yesterday, the plum crazy one. And I was like, oh man, I hope she doesn't see this because I know she's gonna be like, I know she's gonna be like, hey, that's the one I want, you know? And it's like, oh, that's gonna be, but I just don't know if, you know, I don't know what the age to entry should be for something like
There's
that.
some
It's kind of
fast,
one of
there's some
those
fast
tough
six,
ones.
7 year old kids. I mean, it all depends on, you know, if they could drive or not. I mean, but what's cool about the drag racing thing, it's kind of like the crawl thing. It's not as intimidating than going to a track and trying to make laps. So I'm seeing a lot of kids, and I'm seeing a lot of moms and wives and girlfriends and dads. I mean, I've seen a lot of people getting into drag racing because they think, well, I can go straight for 113 feet. I mean, most people can. It just takes time to go, you know, 75 an hour. A little 13.5 class, which should come in and, you know, kind of guide them in that direction.
Yeah, see, that's, oh, man, I'm struggling, and you know, and plus we have another issue here is the weather. You know, down in SoCal and other places, Arizona, they have nice weather that they can go and play at. I mean, we can go in parking garages and stuff, but I don't know if I want to bring my 8-year-old daughter to a parking garage on a Friday night and be like, hey, let's go race.
We raced at JT's track a couple weeks ago, or about a month or so ago, in Colorado, and it rained all day. Well, we get to the street, and we're like, it's wet. What are we gonna do? So we actually parked cars, like, and heated the
Oh, and
ground up
heated
for
it up.
we raced. It only took like 20, 30 minutes to get it all dried up so we could race. So if there's a way, there's a
How
will. I mean, you
funny.
can, or a will, there's a way. So yeah, absolutely.
That's epic. That's epic.
That's rad. That's
And
rad.
John, the thing you don't know about Pablo's daughter is, in my mind, I've never met the young lady. I've seen her, I followed her a little bit through Pablo, but he's in big trouble, man, because she recently built a slash with him, the kit slash, and seems to have a bit of an affinity. So you might find yourself in those Friday night parking garages, my friend.
I know, I know. I come from a gearhead family, and it's like, oh my gosh, I just it was, so we went to a kid's birthday party, and one of the dads did a smoke show, and I didn't bring my shop truck, and I was like, we kind of all looked at each other, and we're like, that's not a smoke show. My daughter literally was like, yeah, we could have done a lot better. And my son goes like, yeah, with one tire, like. I was like,
Wow.
oh. So
That's awesome.
that primed me to put up that video that I put on of my shop truck doing a smoke show. But
That's awesome.
so let's switch it up a little bit, John. I have a couple of questions because obviously one of the new hot things right now
Yes.
is that gatekeeper. So I got a question about that. So I was doing a little bit of research because I've been pining after an enduro or an element vehicle, and would it be down the road, is it going to be possible to pick up those links and switch over the gate, basically, you know, put the parts from a gatekeeper rear end onto an enduro
Oh yeah,
build kit per
that
se?
is one of our that's one of our main things with Element. We've done quite a few things on that truck to work with other aftermarket manufacturer parts and that kind of stuff. There were some things that we wanted to go a certain direction, but we felt it wasn't strong enough, so we had to change it up a little bit. But from our very first Sendero all the way to now the Gatekeeper, all the parts are interchangeable. The only thing that you might need to
Sweet.
do to the chassis itself is with the new Panhard bar. If you wanted to run that, you'd have to drill two holes and put two bolts behind it. But other than that, everything else is just bolt on.
Gotcha.
Order the parts. You can put the cage on your other truck. You can put a body on. You know, it's fully interchangeable. with the very first truck. And we do that on purpose.
That's awesome. That makes me super excited. Just because yesterday I got a might or might not be in trouble for it, but I got JJ Customs is sending us a Enduro build kit, and it's going to be my first one. And so my daughter's jumping up and down for it and all that kind of stuff. So we're going to be building that, and we have a really cool concept that I'm building for it. We're doing a Nova wagon, like two wagon body, and I'm throwing that on top and caging it out, all that kind of stuff. So shout out to JJ Customs for getting that going for me. So I'm pumped for that, for sure.
And shout out to Pablo's wife for allowing it.
My poor wife, we've been married 30 years, and I met her at an RC car track. So,
Oh wow!
I can't really say nothing. I'm gonna say that. She's out, at the same time, you know, that's where we met. So,
right. Do you have one of those relationships where you're like the living room is all your decorations? No RC cars will enter the living room, and the garage is mine. Like, is that your guys's kind of?
It kind of started that way, but when you have so many RC cars, they kind of, and you have a son that's really into it too. They just kind of go everywhere, you know.
Right. Yeah, I can kind of relate to that when it comes to, you know, my design work and stuff. And I'm like, well, it's work, you know. It's like, yeah, I'm doing it. So what is at the kitchen table? It's work.
We did do is we added onto our house quite a few years ago, and the master bedroom was like 30 feet long and 16 feet wide. That's just the bedroom part, and then, you know, whatever. But we made it where her computer's here, and then I had a work table here, you know, in the same room. That way, no matter if I was wrenching for a race or getting ready for something, always together. We always had, you know, we might not be paying attention to each other, but we were still kind of together. Watching the TV.
That's right. Yeah, that's
but totally since rad. This whole COVID thing has started, and I'm now working from home, I have a 4-bedroom house, and I've taken over one of the rooms and made it my office. By the time I go to the bedroom, I don't want to look at an RC car, even though there those RC cars are on shelves everywhere. Right. but I don't wrench on this anymore. I'd use it for this room here. So
I think it's so true right now. And not to get off RC, but church and state, it's hard to, it's like I wake up, I'm in my office. I feel like I'm rolling over into my cubicle, right? Like it's like. It's tough, right? Like, and for you, like, I mean, when I hear you say that, I kind of roll my eyes, John. I'm like, oh my God, if I could roll over and have an RC there to wrench on, that'd be utopia for me.
It is good, you know, it is my passion that I do need to get away with it once in a while.
I hear you.
Right. So,
Yes, sir.
Well, and I totally get it too, because like, so we have a downstairs that's kind of our rec room area, right? And I had a bench down there that was basically facing the wall, and the TV was on the other side of the room, kind of a thing. So whenever I was working on the kids' cars, or if they were working on it with me, our back was to the whole family, kind of a thing. And so a couple weeks ago, I totally rearranged down there. I was like, all right, we're gonna blow this out. Like, we're gonna put the bench here. Yes, it's going to be floating in the middle of the floor, kind of, but guess what? We can all watch TV together. We can do our homework here and wrench at the same time. And it's so rad. It's like, it makes such a big difference when you guys can be all together. And, you know, at least even if it, like, you know, if my wife's watching whatever she's watching and we're downstairs, you know, playing on the cars, or now my kids are kind of getting into models too. So we're just sitting there doing what we do. And then it's like, you know, we're all together. We can eat and do everything at the same time. I think that's so valuable to be. Our family is very. This whole COVID thing has affected us, but running a small business and doing all that at the same time, it hasn't really changed our flow, because we're always together and we always work. You know, the kids come to the shop after work, and that's just the way it is. Like, you know, so I mean, they come to the shop after school, and that's, you know, that's just the
John, hey, guys, sorry, I don't mean to jump in. I just wondered, So I've got one last question, and I know probably you probably got a lot more. And John, respective of your time too. But John, would you, so if I ask my one question and hop off, do you guys want to keep going for a bit and then we'll I'll just put this stuff down, or do you want to come back on another time and we
I'm
do a
open for
full other
whatever
segment?
you want to do. I'm easy. I like podcasts. I'll talk in RC. I can talk about RC
All
all day
right.
long, all night long. That's not a problem. Or whatever, you know?
Pabs, do you want to do a part two with John? Is that good with
Yeah,
you?
let's do a part two, and maybe what we'll do is once we figure things out, maybe we'll do a live on it too. That'd be pretty
Oh,
fun.
that'd be
That'd be
sick.
yeah,
Yeah,
that'd be
let's do
fun.
that.
So why don't we do that, John? And
Okay.
I appreciate your time and all the fun stories
I
and
do
stuff.
want to bounce
It's
off what
too
you were
much
saying
fun.
there. You said that your family, you're doing making models, right? Or doing models. My son is 21 years old. And we were traveling to Oklahoma, and he's like, you know what? I'm going to get a model. He's never done models. He's built RC cars. He's done all this stuff. So he grabs a box.
Wow.
He thought it had like a three or two on the box. You get in the car. We get halfway across into the next state. He's looking at the box. He goes, hey, it's a five. It's a building level. And he didn't realize that when you open the box that there was thousands and thousands of parts. And as we're traveling, he is building and painting this thing,
Wow.
making it. And I don't think it's still done. I mean, he's been working on it for a while, but it was kind of cool to watch him open a box of a model like when I started, and you see all those parts, and you're just like lost. Okay, where do I start? You
Right.
know? So we I gotta paint them
Right,
too.
right. No. Oh, I know. I know. My daughter did a snap together one for the first one, and I posted a picture of it. It's a 57 Chevy, and then now she started. I mean, since she built the slash kit, she's like jonesing to turn wrenches on stuff now. And so she's like, my wife actually blew out her servo, and she was like, "Can I change a servo?" And I was like, "Absolutely. Here's a screw gun. Like, go." And so,
Nice.
but and then now we got her first, I think it's like skill level two or three. And she was a little worried about it. I was like, no, you can do it. Like, it just takes a little more patience, but you can do it. And so there she is cutting all the pieces off and, filing down the little nubs, and she's like gluing things together. So
That's
should be a
awesome.
cool
And
little
then just
project.
keep those. I still
So
have all my models
happy.
around for
That's
kid up in the
awesome.
rocker. So,
Oh, that's so cool, man. Like, that's one thing. Sorry, Jeff, if you got to go, I'll make it quick. But that's one thing that I get heat from every now and then, that I'm not a very, like, I don't get attached to things very much, but it's like it would kind of be neat to have stuff like
Yeah.
that laying around after time, just to kind of go back and at least see where, like, I've built a couple of retro models in the last couple months, and it's like seeing where the models were back then from the 70s or from the 60s or whatever to what the models are now. They've changed a bit, but not a whole lot, and it's more of just like the artwork and stuff that's changed versus the
Right.
actual craft of what it is. So definitely cool to see all that kind of stuff, but I'll let you wrap it up,
It
Jeff.
is. No, it's all good, guys. And this is why I want to do more, because John, like, you're easy to talk to, buddy. And even when you're saying Pablo, now I want to talk more. But it's like the one thing I'll say is, when you said about having your models from being a kid, when I first got into RC, me and my dad built a Midnight Pumpkin, and that was the first hobby grade like RC we built together. And so, to your points, and a good way to wrap it up is, this hobby is so much more than the cars and the obvious. It's what Pablo and I talk about a lot, right? It's about family and connections and finding things together and learning. And man, I'm stoked to have had you on. Pablo and I
Absolutely.
are really
Anytime.
appreciative, like you said. And we're
Yeah, just,
looking forward to having
yeah,
you back
for
for
sure. Just
sure,
let me know
buddy.
when and we'll do it.
Awesome.
Nice.
Thanks a lot,
Yeah,
John.
you
Really
too. You
appreciate
guys
it.
have a
It's been
great
a
day. We'll
blast
see you
having you
next
on.
time. We'll talk to you next time.
It's Jeff, and you just listened to one of our probably one of our more exciting podcasts here, having John Schultz on with Pablo and I. John's a great guy, and we just want to say thanks again. So this is our Reefs RC change in direction coming right at you here. And no matter the line you're on, turn your next crawl, bash, race, or flight, into a memorable one with a quality engineered Reef servo. Visit ReefsRC.com today. That's ReefsRC.com. And this change of direction is just a little bit of a contemplative bit on the end. John, again, huge influencer in the RC game. You know, obviously Associated, Electronics, Element, no prep drag racing. If you listen to the full episode, you really got a sense for a guy who loves this hobby, is passionate, is, in his words, an enthusiast about RC. And that has led him into success in the hobby on the business side. This is a man who doesn't simply punch the clock 9 to 5 going in and, you know, working on new designs or new products. He lives them. He takes them out in his own words. He'll run things. He'll see how things react, come back to the lab and make adjustments to make a better product for all of us in RC. I got to be honest. I didn't know a lot about John Schultz before we had him on, but hearing the way he speaks about this hobby, it kind of reinvigorates it for me. And that's pretty amazing. I'm already pretty excited about this, and Pablo and I both love this hobby and our various interests in it. But to have a guy like John on to talk to us about what it means to get back to those grassroots level racing, the no prep drag, his whole analogy about having to move all the cars off of a dead end street because a car might be coming by, a real one-to-one car might be coming by, and then getting back to racing is fantastic. So yeah, the change in direction here goes to John, and a salute to him for coming on. And he agreed to come back, and we can't wait to have him. Pablo and I might try to have him on the live version on the Saturday weekend edition coming up here. Maybe not this weekend, but we'll see. So stay tuned for that. Thanks again for joining us for Whoops Wednesday, guys. As always, I hope you're well. I hope you're taking care of everybody out there. And keep that trigger pinned and enjoy this hobby.